to hearing now. Okay, so we're coming up to Shivasava Tamas, the 3 weeks starting. That's obviously a time when we don't have weddings, but nevertheless, we're in the third shir out of four in our series. So this week is an Even HaEzer topic. Even HaEzer is the third chelek of Shulchan Aruch, which deals with matrimonial law. And so I want to look tonight at the topic of Sheva Brachot, not so much in the context of Sheva Brachot under the chuppah, though I'll touch on it very, very briefly, but in the context of Sheva Brachot in the week after a couple get married. Sheva Brachot under the chuppah are an intrinsic part of the marriage ceremony. They always take place, except when they don't. This came up over COVID, when you couldn't have more than six people gathering together, so you didn't have a minyan when some people were getting married. And then there was a question: could you have? You can't say Sheva Brachot without a minyan. So the question is: was it permissible to get married without reciting Sheva Brachot? That's a machloket in the Rishonim. In practice, we paskin that in extremis, then one can. And indeed, there were weddings that took place without Sheva Brachot being recited. But in any event, what I want to look at is the question of Sheva Brachot in the week after a couple get married, and to discuss a whole range of questions that come up. So the Gemara in Masechet Ketubot in the first perek, Daf Yomi is starting Masechet Ketubot this week, the end of the week. And so next week is already being the Daf Yomi. On Daf Zayin, the Gemara says that Mavarachim Birkat Chatanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva, that if there's a minion present, then Birkat Chatanim, which is the technical term for Sheva Brachot, is recited for all 7 days following a wedding. There's a mitzvah that of Simchat Chatan V'Kala during the 7 days after a couple get married. And consequent to that, there's a mitzvah that if a meal is eaten under certain circumstances, and we'll discuss those circumstances. So let's try and establish what those circumstances are. So the Gemara says, you say these brachot, ba'asara, with a minyan. And so it's clear there that you need a minyan to be present to say the Sheva Brachot. Sometimes it happens that you don't have a minyan present. It could be that you've invited just 10, 11 men, whatever, and for whatever reason, two of them don't show up. So you're now stuck without a minyan. And you've sent a text round to a couple of people, would they like to come and join you? But it's either it's pouring, you know, the night when it's pouring with rain, or it's the World Cup final on television, whatever it is, one of the, I don't know which is more of a disincentive to coming to Sheva Brachot, but one or the other, and nobody wants to come out and make up a minion for you. So what would you do? You haven't got the minion to say Sheva Brachot. So in that case, you say Shtei Brachot. It's not a Sheva Brachot, it's a Shtei Brachot. Why Shtei Brachot? Because we say that if there isn't a minion present, but it's still during that first week, so you say the long bracha of Asher Bara, the one that everybody likes to sing, Kol Chatan V'Kol Kala in it. You say that long bracha. And then you also say the bracha of Borei Pri Hagafen. The Borei Pri Hagafen, of course, isn't really specific to a wedding feast. But if we count it in the seven brachot, when we talk about Sheva Brachot, so we can count it in the Shtei Brachot, when we're just having the abridged version. But that can sometimes happen. You know, for whatever reason, you didn't have a minion for Sheva Brachot. Some of the people didn't show up. It could have been, you know, perhaps just at the beginning of COVID, before there was lockdown, maybe somebody was having a Sheva Brachot, but not many people wanted to come. They thought they'd have a minion. There were only seven men, whatever. So in that case, fine. You'd say Shtei Brachot rather than Sheva Brachot. That can also sometimes happen, you know, let's say during the week of Sheva Brachot. So usually people want to put on a, you know, a fancy suda for lots of people. But it might be that, you know, you've got
you know, family and friends coming in from abroad for the wedding. And, you know, on the morning that they're going back, they all come round to the Chatan and Kala for breakfast, or everybody goes out to Isola Bella for breakfast, whatever it is. And, you know, there are 3-4 couples there. So, okay, you know, there isn't a minyan. They weren't expecting a minyan, but they all had breakfast together. It was, you know, a sort of celebratory breakfast to be together with the Chatan and Kala. These are people who come in from abroad, whatever. So in that case also, you would say the Shtei Brachot. You wouldn't say all Shev Brachot because there's not a minyan. It's more than just a functional meal. It's not just sort of the Chatan and Kala sitting down to eat breakfast with the Kala's parents and her brother. So there's a mezuman, but, you know, not more than that. That's just, you know, functional. But this is sort of part of the wedding celebrations. So you would say Shtei Brachot in that case. Okay, do we always say Shev Brachot when you've got a minyan? So the answer is no. You need what's called Panim Chadashot. Panim Chadashot are literally new faces. That means somebody who hasn't previously participated in the Simcha. Now there are a number of machlokot about this. There's a machloket poskim. How many panim chadashot do you need? Most poskim say panim chadashot only means one, because a panim, the word face, is one of those plural words. Everybody has a panim. So when you say panim, you know, this is my panim, this is my face, we don't say it's my pan. I like making lots of puns, but and that was one of them. But when we talk about panim chadashot, so it doesn't necessarily, even though it's in the plural, it can be referring to one person. And that's actually how most poskim understand it. Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva in Yabia Omer, where he says that based on a tshuva of Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam, the Rambam's son, where he says that in actual fact, panim chadashot means you have to have two people who haven't previously participated in the simcha. But in general, we don't paskin that way. Certainly Ashkenazim don't, and it's fine to have just one new person. Now, there is, though, a very important machloket in the Rishonim about what exactly we mean. How new does this person need to be? According to the Rambam, it needs to be somebody who wasn't even at the chuppah. If the person was at the chuppah, but they weren't invited for the dinner, but they were invited to Shev Brachot during the week, then you wouldn't say Shev Brachot if they're the only panim chadashot, because they've already been part of the wedding celebrations. Whereas most Rishonim hold that in actual fact, even if they were at the chuppah, but they haven't participated in one of the seudot, so then they would say the Shev Brachot. Now, what's the machloket really about? So it seems that the Rambam holds that Chiyuv of Shev Brachot applies to the people who are present when a Chatan and Kala are celebrating. That will be under the chuppah, or it will be at a meal during the course of the week. And if you're present at such a gathering, you have to recite the Shev Brachot in honor of the Chatan and Kala. Either you have to recite them yourself, or you have to hear somebody else saying them. So if you were at the chuppah, or at any of the meals, you've heard the brachot, you've been yotzei with it, and then you've got no obligation to recite these brachot or have these brachot recited on your behalf again during the course of the week. That's the way that the Rambam seems to understand it. The other Rishonim understand it differently. They say, essentially, whenever the simcha is extended and enhanced and made greater, so then you would say that the brachot for the Chatan and Kala, because it's a greater celebration for them. So therefore, if they've got Ploni Almoni, Joe Cohen, and they weren't able, they might have been at the chuppah, but they weren't able to invite him to the dinner. Or they were able to invite him to the dinner, but he wasn't able to come because it was a World Cup final on the night of the dinner, so he said no. Yeah, and now he's able to come on the Tuesday evening. So his presence there enhances the simcha for the chatan and kala. And therefore, because there's an enhanced simcha, so one would say the Sheva Brachot. That's a very important machloket. How do we pasken? The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Samach Bet paskens, like most Rishonim, that even if a person was at the chuppah, so long as they haven't yet been to a meal during that week with the chatan and kala, Sheva Brachot are recited. So on the one hand, that would seem to be a certain leniency. But on the other hand, there's a stringency as well. What's the stringency? The stringency means that really the panim chadashot, the new person who's at the Sheva Brachot, should be somebody that the chatan and kala are, pleased that that person is there. Chatan and kala are getting from simcha that this person is there. If you make a Sheva Brachot and there's no panim chadashot, or let's say you've got panim chadashot invited, and then they get caught in traffic and they're not able to come. So the panim chadashot phone sends you a message: really sorry, I'm not going to make it tonight. So everybody who's there is has already been. They were at the wedding dinner, whatever. It's it's friends' sheva brachot night, or it's the parents' friends' night, or whatever. Panim chadashot isn't there, so. That person has texted you, it's already everybody sat down and washed. What are you going to do? So you go and knock on a neighbor's door and you ask the neighbor, can they come in? Because you need panim chadashot. So the neighbor is wearing a string vest and his shorts, and he's watching the telly and doesn't really want to come across the road, but okay, he will do because you need panim chadashot. So he slouches across the road. He's fleishik and you're milchik, so he's got nothing he can eat. The desserts are milchik as well. And the chatan and kala don't know this person. He doesn't know them. He doesn't want to be there. Nobody's talking to him anyhow. So it's very questionable whether you could really say Sheva Brachot under those circumstances, because is the simcha of the chatan and kala enhanced in any way by this fellow showing up? It seems that it's not really enhanced. My recommendation would be in such an instance. So, okay, don't say the Sheva Brachot. You'll just say Shtei Brachot. Instead of dragging this poor fellow away from his television, put a shirt on top of his string vest, leave him be. He can enjoy his evening at home. You can enjoy your evening at the Sheva Brachot. And fine, it won't be a Sheva Brachot. It'll be a Shtei Brachot. And fine, okay, there's no chiyuv to say Sheva Brachot in that case. There are times when one doesn't need to say Sheva Brachot, so it doesn't need Panim Chadashot. When don't you need Panim Chadashot? Shabbat and Yom Tov meals. Why? Because Shabbat and Yom Tov meals, they're already extra simcha. The simcha of Shabbat Sheva Brachot is always greater than any of the other days. So it's, this is Shabbat Sheva Brachot. That's, really exciting. So that Shabbat is like Panim Chadashot. So interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch says that applies to Friday night meal and the Shabbat lunch meal or the Shabbat day meal. What about Sudash Rishit? Sudash Rishit isn't regarded as Panim Chadashot by itself. And you do need Panim Chadashot. Why do you need Panim Chadashot for Suda Shishit? Because Suda Shishit, traditionally, you don't have such a wonderful spread. It's some manji herring and some stale challah rolls and a couple of bottles of beer and some onion rings or whatever it is. It's not a simcha dik as the other meals. So therefore, by itself, it doesn't count as Panim Chadashot. So either you'll have Panim Chadashot, or if there's special droshas in honor of the occasion, so then that would also be enough. So that's the question there about the Panim Chadashot. Big question comes up: how many days are there of Sheva Brachot? So it depends, is the answer. We always talk about there being 7 days of Sheva Brachot. There's an interesting question. When do the 7 days of Sheva Brachot begin? 7 days of Sheva Brachot begin on the day of the chuppah. So even if the, you know, let's say the chuppah Kiminhag Anglia is on a Sunday, and let's say it's in the winter, so the chuppah is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's halachically Sunday, even though the first dinner is not until Sunday night, which is halachically Monday. Nevertheless, Sunday counts as the first day, which means that the following Shabbat is going to be the final day of the Sheva Brachot. Sometimes it could be that, especially in the winter, you know, that last day, you want to make sure that, that you're benching before Shkia, because if you bench after Shkia, then it's not regarded as the day of Sheva Brachot, and you wouldn't say the Sheva Brachot. So the question sometimes comes up, we were running late, the person who was giving the Dvar Torah, droned on and on, he thought he had to say seven different Divrei Torah because it was because of the Sheva Brachot, and we overshot and we benched. We started benching 2 minutes before Shkia, and we didn't get to the Sheva Brachot till 4 minutes after Shkia. Do you say the Sheva Brachot or not? So that's a very interesting question. It's a machloket in the Acharonim. Most Acharonim say no, you don't. Once you've hit Shkia, it's too late. Having said that, there are poskim who say that in actual fact you've got 8 or 9 minutes after Shkia when you can still say the Sheva Brachot. Some poskim even say longer than that. But the Maisha, I think we would paskin that once you've hit Shkia, then you don't say the Sheva Brachot. Fine, you didn't say the Sheva Brachot. It's not like Sheva Brachot haven't been recited during the course of the week. So as I say, Sheva Brachot are for the whole for 7 days with a proviso, and that proviso is that one or other of the parties, meaning either Chatan or the Kala, hasn't been married before. But if one or other, but if they've both been married before, so then there's not a din of Sheva Brachot for all 7 days. There's a din of Sheva Brachot only for the first meal, for the first suda, and that's provided that the suda took place on the day they got married. So sometimes you'll have, it's a second marriage for both of them. Let's say it's in the winter. They have the chuppah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday afternoon, and then the dinner takes place at 6 o'clock in the evening. So in that case, there would be no Sheva Brachot. If it takes place at, in regular time of year, in the spring, whatever, and the chuppah, takes place in the late afternoon, and the Suda starts, or this time of year, the Suda starts, at 8 o'clock in the evening, Shkia's at 9:20, and they don't bench till 10 o'clock, so fine, because the Suda was eaten during the day, so you'd still say Sheva Brachot at that Suda. However, even for a couple where both of them have been married before, during the first 3 days, if there's a suda in their honour, so you would say what we call shtei bracha, what I've called shtei brachot. So you'd say the long bracha of Asher Bara, and you'd bench over a kos as well, giving you the bracha of Borei Pri Hagafen also. So, it could be that, you've got a couple, they've previously been married, they're obviously not having the week of Sheva Brachot, but they're still going to they're still going to have perhaps a few meals with friends, even there might be a minion, whatever. It might be that they weren't able, they were making a small wedding, and then the next night they were going to have a dinner party as well with a minion. So in that case, you would say the bracha of Asher Bara, but not all 7 brachot, and that extends for 7 days. Very important question comes up though in this regard. So we said for a couple that's been married previously, both of them, then there's no din of Sheva Brachot for the whole week. It's just one day. What if both members of the couple are sexually experienced. So neither of them is a virgin. Do you say Sheva Brachot or not? And this is a machloket between the Nodav Yehuda and the Chatam Sofer. Chatam Sofer and the Nodav Yehuda had a machloket about this. According to the Nodav Yehuda, in such an instance, you don't have Sheva Brachot. According to the Chatam Sofer, you do, because the Simcha, the Sheva Brachot, are said over the Simcha of getting married. In the machloket is whether it's the Sheva Brachot are said over the Simcha of being physically intimate with each other, or whether it's the Simcha of being married. And that's a machloket in the poskim. It's not really resolved. It's not really resolved. But there is that question, and certainly a number of poskim are of the opinion that one should at least be choshesh to the shita of the Nodav Yehuda, and that if both parties are sexually experienced, then there shouldn't be Sheva Brachot. There are a number of considerations to factor in, certainly with Baalei Tshuva. One doesn't want to shame Baalei Tshuva. One wants to build up Baalei Tshuva. So in that case, I could see good grounds, for leniency. Certainly, there's a question if the couple, say, have been living together. Sometimes you'll have a couple that have been living together for, maybe for a number of years. They've been living together as man and wife, a husband and wife for a period of time. And then, 3 years down the line, they decide they want to get married, and some of their friends want to make Sheva Brachot for them. It's not so clear that there's a big mitzvah in doing that. You're raising questions of Brachot Levatala. Certainly, if they're not asking for it, if they're still not a frum couple, and they've got some frum friends, or whatever, I think that'd be really nice to make Sheva Brachot for them. It's not so pashut that it would be. That it would be really nice. It's, as I say, it's a machloket. I'm not paskening in this context. I'm just flagging it up as an interesting question. I saw a question in the chat. My wife and I clearly communicate by Zoom chat. Would one say if one's just saying the bracha of Asher Bara, do you need panim chadashot? No, the answer is not, because we've established, I think, that in any event, panim chadashot, where you don't have panim chadashot, you say the bracha of Asher Bara. That's the bracha that you say when you don't have panim chadashot. So I don't think that it should be different, even if panim chadashot is the only Asher Bara is the only bracha that you would be saying in any event. Let's think about some questions to do with the actual procedure and the ceremony, as it were. So the first question always comes up with regard to the kos or the kosot. In actual fact, it's a machloket between Ashkenazim and Sfardim how many kosot you use for Sheva Brachot at a Sheva Brachot celebration. According to the Machaber in Shulchan Aruch, and this is the practice of Sfardim, you only use one kos. Whereas according to Ashkenazim, you use two kosot. So what's the machloket about? But there's a principle of Enos in mitzvot chavilot chavilot. Don't bundle mitzvot together. You've got two mitzvot. You want to give each mitzvah its own attention, its own prominence. And you don't try and, as it were, kill two birds with one stone. So Ashkenazim say, look, here we've got two mitzvot. One is a mitzvah Birkat HaMazon, which needs a kos. And the other is a mitzvah Sheva Brachot, which needs a kos. So let's have a kos for each of them. On the other hand, Sfardim take the attitude, no, it's one mitzvah. In terms of the Sheva Brachot are there because of the Birkat HaMazon. If you weren't having Birkat HaMazon, there would be no Sheva Brachot. Sheva Brachot are almost part and parcel of the Birkat HaMazon. We'll see, in actual fact, according to the Rambam, they are part and parcel of Birkat HaMazon. So therefore, Sfardim will have one kos, Ashkenazim will have two kosot. So then there's a big question. When do you fill up the kosot? very often when I'm at a wedding, so, you know, the chairman, MC, whatever, will come up to me during the course of the dinner, say, so we've got the show, Brachot, can you just tell us how the cups should be filled up? So the simple answer is, whatever you do will be correct. I mean, Rabbon, you should always be careful saying whatever you do, because there'll always be somebody who can work out something that you shouldn't have done. But it's a machloket. According to the Magen Avraham, you shouldn't fill up the second kos until after Birkat HaMazon. You should do that at the very end. And that's also the view of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And the Chai Adam says, you don't need to do it till after Birkat HaMazon. He's not saying that you shouldn't do it till after Birkat HaMazon, but you don't need to. The Magen Avraham thinks that it's correct not to do it till after Birkat HaMazon, because you do one mitzvah first, and then you get down to the second mitzvah. On the other hand, other poskim say differently and say that you should fill up both kosot at the beginning. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to say that you should have them both there at the beginning. Certainly that's what Rav Eliashiv said, what Rav Moshe Sternbach said as well. The Taz has an interesting sheet up. Taz says that you start off with Rabotai Nevarech and Devai Haser holding one kos, and then when you finish the piyut of Devai Haser, you put down that kos. Then you take the second kos for the rest of the Zimun, B'Shut Maranav Rabbanav Rabotai Nevarech Elokein Shasim Chabim Ono, and you hold that through Birkat HaMazon. Then at the end of Birkat HaMazon, you put that down, go back to the Devai Haser kos, which is the one for the Sheva Brachot, use that for the Sheva Brachot, put that down again, go back to the Birkat HaMazon kos, and say the Bracha for Pri HaGafen over the Birkat HaMazon kos. That's what the Taz says to do. I've never actually seen anybody do it. I've never even done that myself. But I always have a little bit of a Yitzhahara to do that. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. That's what the Taz says. The Aruch HaShulchan says, then you say Dvai Haser over the cost of Birkat HaMazon. So at the end of the day, doesn't really matter which way round you do it. You'll have somebody, if anybody questions you, then you just need to remember who it is that you're following. You've always got somebody to follow there. So that's as far as holding the kos is concerned. Now there's a point brought down by some of the Achronim. It's a point of machloket, but the question comes up, are you allowed to speak between the end of Birkat HaMazon and the end of the Sheva Brachot? So interesting, I mean, you know, very often at weddings everybody talks. I mean, some weddings everybody talks all the way through Birkat HaMazon as well. But let's hope we're not one of those weddings. There's some weddings where, you know, after benching, there's a lot of noise, a lot of talking, and then they get down to the Sheva Brachot. So Rav Eliashiv points out that according to the Rambam, this is definitely a problem, because the Rambam understands that the Sheva Brachot are an extension of Birkat HaMazon. Meaning, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchot Brachot, the Rambam talks about the Nusach Birkat HaMazon. He says Birkat HaMazon is four brachot, and it finishes, L'olam HaYichasreinu, that's the end of four more Birkat HaMazon, and then you've got, okay, some extra tchinot, whatever. And then, but, in actual fact, for a wedding, Birkat HaMazon is extended with a further six or seven brachot, or one or two, you know, depending on, you know, what the circumstances are, whether I'm counting Birkat HaMazon as one of them, or Birkat Borei Pri HaGafen as one of them or not. But it's extended. So it's an extended form of Birkat HaMazon. So just as like you can't talk in the middle of benching, you can't talk in the middle of Sheva Brachot. Rav Moshe Sternbach isn't so worried about that, but Rav Eliashiv was. In any event, the Mishnah Berurah says that you're really not supposed to Borei Pri HaGafen is the conclusion to Birkat HaMazon. So in general, when there's a benching on a kos, you shouldn't speak before before the bracha for Kriyat Kafen at the end. But the minhag seems to be that people talk. I think there's a hiddur not to speak till the end of the Sheva Brachot. Then there's the drinking of the kos. So minadin, it would seem that just the mevarich, just the person who's said the Sheva Brachot or led benching, needs to drink from the kos. The minhag is that the person leading, and again, very often I'll get a call from somebody or somebody who come up to me at a wedding, they're leading the benching. Remind me what I'm supposed to do with the kosot. So the general minhag is the person leading the benching is tepore b'yal gafen over the kos shel b'kat amazon. He should take a mouthful from that. Then the minhag is that you pour a bit of that into the or you pour from both kosot now into a third cup, and then you pour from that third cup back into the first two kosot. You've one to the katan to drink from and one to the kala to drink from. Doesn't seem there's, strictly speaking, any need for the katan and kala to drink from the kosot, but that's certainly the minhag. It's kos shel bracha, and indeed, in general, it's good to drink from a kos shel bracha. That's all fine. Question often comes up, though, at a sudah shlishit on Shabbat. You'll have sudah shlishit on Shabbat, towards the end of Shabbat very often. And then there's the question, what do you do about drinking the kos? Our minhag usually is that if we bench after shkia, that we bench over a kos, but we don't drink the kos. And we don't say the bracha bore pi agafen over it either. Why? Because generally speaking, there's a prohibition against drinking, eating or drinking anything other than water, from the time that Shabbat's gone out until you make Havdalah. So that's an important halacha. You know, you get home on Motzei Shabbat and, you know, your kids aren't quite ready for Havdalah, so it's going to be 10, 15 minutes. You know, you want a cup of coffee beforehand, you can't do that. So here, you've benched, Shabbat's out. Now, you've got Shev Brachot, so what should you do about the kos? So predictably, again, it's a machloket. Some say, just say Sheish Brachot in this instance. Start with Shakol Bara Lichvoto, as you always would. Six Bracha Asher Bara. Then leave the kos, or the two kosot, I suppose, and use them for Havdalah. And you shouldn't drink them. Other poskim say, and this seems to be the maskana of the poskim. Other poskim say, no, there's a din that even the kosher b'kat hamazon, really you can drink. It's just that our minhag is not to, because most times we don't bench over a kos anyhow. You know, who benches over a kos at every Shabbat meal? You know, we don't, even if you've got a mezuman. So, okay, you know, like if we have a sudash reshit at shul or something like that, we bench over a kos. But we're not really that frum that we always bench over a kos. So, therefore, you know, let's not drink it now and get into questions. But Sheva Brachot, everybody always benches over a kos. The things you always bench over a kos at Sheva Brachot. So then, when it's Motzei Shabbat, you know, when it's after sudash reshit, Shabbat's gone out, should also bench over the kos and drink the kos. But in that case, only one person should drink from the kos. So I remember many years ago, probably about 30 years ago, Rav Tavori Zichrono Livracha, my predecessor, Rav Tavori, his daughter got married in Israel, and he made Sheva Brachot in the yeshiva Shabbat afternoon at Sudash Shishit. He shared his simcha with the yeshiva, and he made Sheva Brachot. And his Dvar Torah was discussing this theme. And he said he went to the Rosh Yeshiva to ask them what should be done. So the answers that they gave were very characteristic of the two Rosh Yeshiva, Harav Lichtenstein Zichron Oliv Racha and Harav Amital Zichron Oliv Racha. He went to ask Rav Lichtenstein. Rav Lichtenstein said, well, you know, it's a machloket. So the best thing to do is to get out of the safek and make sure that you bench before shkia. Bench before shkia, and drink the kosbi for shki, and then you can have all the smirot and the singing after benching. That was Rav Lichtenstein's answer. Rav Amital said to him very differently. Rav Amital said, started off the same way, it's a machloket. He said, whatever you do, though, don't bench before shkia. That's make a decision. This was characterized the different approaches that Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital had towards certain halachic issues. Rav Lichtenstein was always very, very cautious. If it's a machloket and they're different opinions, you know, try and avoid that situation. Rav Amital took the attitude that, you know, situations come up, and you know, this isn't the first time in history it's come up, and everybody, yes, it's a machloket, and some say you should do this, and some say you should do that. So make up your mind what you're going to do. You know, those poskim say that, and those, you know, follow one of the poskim. Make up, you know, learn through the sugya, reach a conclusion of what you think is correct. And then he told the story that Rav Amital had told him, that when Rav Amital got married in the 1940s, so on the Shabbat, the Sudash Lishit Sheva Brachot, there was a Rav there who was the author, I think, of the Sefer Sovas Machot, but I might be mistaken about that, but the author of a Sefer on the Halachot of Sheva Brachot. Oh, so that's perfect. You've got the world expert on the subject sitting at Sheva Brachot with you. You can go and ask him exactly what to do. So that's exactly what they did. They went up to him and they said to him, you know, what should we do about the kos? So this was in the middle of the meal. He said, come to me just before benching and I'll tell you what to do. Okay, so they carried on with the meal. Came to just before benching. They looked around for him and he'd gone. He didn't want to answer the question. So in any event, that's the question with Sudash Yishit on Shabbat afternoon. What else do we have? A few more questions. Big question that often comes up at a wedding is can you leave before the benching? Very often at weddings, you know, benching is right at the end, and you know, people want to go. People have got to get up early the next morning. It's 11 o'clock at night already. People want to go home. And then they feel perhaps trapped by the Sheva Brachot. Do they have to stay for the Sheva Brachot? So in part, this question might depend on the machloket between the Rambam and Rav Rishonim, exactly how to understand Sheva Brachot. Essentially, there are a number of opinions in the Achronim. Ideally, one should stay for the Sheva Brachot, definitely. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Igrot Moshe, where he says that the best thing to do is to have in mind when you sit down that you're not really joining with everybody else. You're eating by yourself. So, you know, if you have a tanai that you're not part of the company, then you haven't got a chiyuv in Sheva Brachot. When I'm going to be leaving early, well, I try and do that in an enhanced way, as it were. So I try and wash. Now, after everybody else on my table has sat down and tucked in, so then, you know, I'll wash and make hamotzi. So it's like I didn't even start the meal with everybody else, and I'm not finishing with everybody else either. Some poskim suggest that in actual fact, the chiyuv of Sheva Brachot only kicks in at the very end of the Suda. So if you're leaving before the end, then you haven't got a chiyuv of Sheva Brachot. Dan Weiss has a tshuva in Chat Yitzchak where he says that, you know, basically if it's just, you know, you're bored and you want to get home to watch the second half of the World Cup final, which you weren't able to get out, they wouldn't take no as an answer on your reply card, but you've heard they're going into extra time and you really want to get home for that, that's not a ptur. But if you've got to get up early for work the next day, it's Sarach Mitzvah, whatever, so then you know, there are grounds to say that you can leave before the Sheva Brachot. I personally think, I mean, it's interesting, in Israel, I mean, we made two weddings in close succession to each other, one in Israel, one in here. In Israel, I was told in advance, almost nobody stays for Sheva Brachot. It's just the family that's there. Everybody else benches when they're ready to go and toddles off. And that was it, you know. But for benching, there were about, you know, 30 people there. It was just the family and, you know, a few people who'd come from Kutzla Aretz, you know, didn't have work the next day, stayed through till the end. But there was hardly anybody. Most, you know, 90% of the people, 95% of the people had gone before benching. They benched. I saw lots of people benching. They'd gone before benching. When we made the wedding here, one of the things that I was keen to do is that we should have benching possible before, the plan was to have benching before dessert. I don't remember if we did in the end or we had dessert, you know, make sure we were early. But it's at our wedding, in actual fact, we had benching before dessert, so that people who needed to leave would still be there for Shavuot Brachot. And then, you know, we had the benching, you know, more dessert and more dancing afterwards. Another question that comes up is, what happens if the Chatan and Kala need to leave before benching? It can happen. You know, they made a mistake with their honeymoon flights, and they discovered, instead of needing to be at the airport at 1 a.m, so they booked it for the wrong day. They thought the flight was, you know, Monday night at 10 p.m, and then, you know, Sunday morning a text came through, you know, last chance to check in for tonight's flight. And they realised that they booked their flights for the Sunday instead of the Monday. So okay, they'll come to the dinner for the first hour, and then they'll go off. Can you, seeing as they were there for part of the dinner, you might have thought you have you still have Sheva Brachot. The answer is no. If the Chatan and Kala aren't there, you don't have Sheva Brachot. Ah, what if though only one of them's there? A few years ago, I had an interesting case. One Friday night, there was in Shul. On a Friday night in LA, there was a Chatan who got married a few days previously. I remember being at the wedding. I think the wedding was on the Wednesday night. It was there Friday night. I said, "Ah, Mazel Tov, lovely to see you. How's," I don't want to say what her name was, "how's Gloria?" I'm expecting him to say, "She's glorious." And instead he says, "She's terrible." I said, "Oy vey." So you asked the Chatan 3 days into his marriage, "How's your wife?" And he says, "Terrible." It's worrying. I said, "What's the matter?" "She's ill. She'd caught something, some sort of bug or whatever. She spent the past 2 days vomiting." I didn't make a, wasn't very simchadic there. But then the question came that they had no food in the flat. So he was going to go to the Sheva Brachot, and she wasn't. So the question was, do you say the Sheva Brachot without the, if the Kala's not there, if you've only got the Chatan there? So it's a machloket in the Rishonim. The Ritva says that you need both the Chatan and Kala there. The Kala, he says, doesn't have a chiyuv in Sheva Brachot. But the whole din is a din in Simchat Chatan v'Kala. That unless the Chatan has got the Kala there, he's not got any Simcha. So therefore, according to the Ritva, you don't say Sheva Brachot in that case. According to the Ran, well, you would, even if there's no Kala there, because the mitzvah is to be Mesamech the Chatan. If you make the Chatan happy, he seems happy, so then say the Sheva Brachot. That's how Rav Eliashiv paskened, that you can say even without the Chatan there, so even without the Kala there. Rav Moshe Sternbach paskened the other way and said no. The bracha is Mesamech Chatan im Hakala. If the Kala's not there, then you haven't got the requisite Simcha. There's an interesting question, a tshuva of the Maharam Shik. The Maharam Shik was a Talmud of the Chatam Sofer. There's a tshuva of the Maharam Shik. We'll finish nearly at an end. Maharam Shik was asked a question where the Chatan wasn't there. The Chatan had gone away on business 2 days after the wedding. So they were still making a nice suda for the Kala. Would you say Sheva Brachot in that case? And he said, no, in that case, definitely not, because there's no chiyuv of Sheva Brachot for the Kala. The chiyuv of Sheva Brachot applies really there to the Chatan. Two more points to flag up. Often comes up to Sheva Brachot. You know, some people, you know, they can't come for the whole evening. They come later. So, you know, sometimes I've been to a Sheva Brachot coming towards the end, and there for benching, they want to give me a bracha, but I didn't eat anything. Am I able, maybe I just, you know, had a l'chaim, so am I able to say one of the shev brachot even though I didn't eat? There the answer is yes. That's discussed by the posnim, it comes up, the answer is yes. Final question, which perhaps should have been the first question, is, again, this often comes up, often gets asked, is there a chiyuv to have shev brachot every day? You have to have shev brachot every day. The answer is, it's very pashut. The answer is no. I haven't got asked the question this year, but very often I do. You know, couple getting married next week. So, you know, the run-up to Shiva Samar Tammuz. Fast goes out at 10:15 or whatever it is, some years later. So, you know, do you have to have Sheva Brachot after the fast goes out at 10:30 at night? But the answer is no. The reason why you don't have to after the fast goes out is because you, even if it hadn't been a fast day, you don't have to have a Sheva Brachot every night. It's a mitzvah kiyumit rather than a mitzvah chiyuvit, meaning there's a mitzvah for the chatan to be, you know, to be mesamech im akala for 7 days. They have to be simchadik. Then there's another thing that if they have a meal together with a minyan and panim chadashot, so then you say sheva brachot. If you don't have such a suda, then you don't say sheva brachot. It's a fairly recent phenomena to have that, you know, everybody from has sheva brachot for a whole week. The Aruch HaShulchan and other poskim say, you know, that's not the minhag. The minhag in Europe, brought down by the Rishonim, but you know, in many places till the Shoah, the minhag in many places in Europe was weddings took place on a Friday afternoon in the Chatzer Beit HaKnesset, and they would have meals together over Shabbat. Very often, potluck, you know, everybody brings their own food, and they'd eat together in the shul or in the Chatan or Kalah's house, whatever. People were poor. And they'd have Sheva Brachot over Shabbat, and then that's it. They wouldn't have afterwards. And maybe some people would have, you know, maybe one day during the seven they'd have Sheva Brachot. Certainly not every day. And sometimes, you know, it's an imposition on people. Sometimes it's hard for the Chatan and Kala. Sometimes they're traveling, whatever it is. No need to have every day. It might be that, you know, times when it's economically difficult, you know, fine, you haven't got people who want to make Sheva Brachot for you. You want their good wishes. You don't need the Sheva Brachot dinner every night. It's nice to do. It's nice to be able to be Nisan Chatan Kala. Sometimes they're Chatanim and Kalot, you know, they want one night off during the course of the week. They don't want every night. Fine, that's perfectly legitimate. In any event, we should all be zocha to hear kol chatan v'kol kala, kol sason v'kol simcha. So that's this week's shir. Next week's shir, the fourth in the series, the Choshev Mishpat topic, which will be on insurance-related shilas. So that's next week. Adkan, thank you all for joining us.